I come this morning to preach on this subject, above average. The Apostle Paul made up his mind and determined he was not just going to be the run-of-the-mill, everyday, average Christian. And he wasn't. He was not okay just being okay. Are you? See, in 2020, the plague has struck the church and Christianity. We want a Goldilocks Christianity. We want a Goldilocks church. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. You know what God said about that? That's lukewarm. It makes me sick to my stomach. You think you all right? Oh, they're going too far. They ain't going far enough. Hey, I'm right now. Why don't you go? You can't go too far with God. You can't get too close to God. You can't rise too high for God. Amen. Everything Paul did, this phrase jumped out at me in the book of Acts. Paul was wanting to go to Jerusalem, and they was wanting to kill Paul. And he knew it. And others knew it. He had been away for 3 years and got saved by the grace of God. Jesus, you know the story, met him on the road to Damascus. Blinded him, knocked him right off his donkey. Back on the dirt, saved by the grace of God. A radical transformation. I'm not talking about a now I lay me down to sleep, get up and on my way the same. No, I'm talking about this man who hated Christians, who persecuted Christians. Read the book of Acts, start about chapter 13 or 14 and go to the end. And you'll just see it and get a good dose of what all was going on with this man named Paul. Been living in them chapters the last few days. It's unbelievable. Except for you must believe it because it's in the Word of God and it's true. And he got saved. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know who's saved in here this morning. But I'm going to tell you this. If what you have did not change you, you better turn it back in and get something real. See, I've heard that over and over. You better hear it. Not just with your ears, you better heed it. Your eternity depends on it. Do you really trust something that would not change how you live? Change your desires. Why did everybody else who got saved, why did they change? Why did their heart change? Why did where they go change? Why did how they dress change? Why did what they talk about change? Why didn't it change for you? Why are you still that person? Did you really get it? Or did you just pray a prayer? I prayed some of them in my lifetime. I got up in that pool and got dunked. Went down a dead, dirty, rotten sinner. Come up a dirty, rotten sinner who claimed Jesus done something for me only to change my morality as long as my old flesh would let it for 2 or 3 weeks and go right back to being that same old lowdown person wanting the same old things, doing the same old things, right back. Never, until the day Jesus saved me, then I found a love in my heart and a desire for the Word of God, for the people of God. Don't nobody have to come to my house. Hey, it's Sunday morning, it's time for church. No, I rise early, expecting, anticipating. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to go and rejoice. Hey, I want to get in this Word. I want to read it. I want God to speak to me. Hey, listen, you know that you passed from death into life. Why? Because you have a love for the brethren. All these people hating and gossiping and discussing and cussing everybody. Hey, you probably need to get saved. Bunch of wicked people. I tell you, some of the meanest people on planet Earth are sitting on church pews. So what's that got to do with Paul? Because Paul was one. What's that got to do with this singing and Jesus and the Father? How you think Saul became Paul? A man who hated the church. A man who he was religious to the top. A chief among the Pharisees. Taught at the feet of Gamaliel. Knew the law. Read them chapters I told you about. They tried. Hey, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem, boys. I've been with y'all three plus years. I've given y'all everything. I've held back nothing. I've kept back nothing. I've preached and taught the whole council. I've given all to you. And it's time for me to go. Pentecost is coming. And I need to get on this boat and this ship and head out. I'm going to Jerusalem. They said, Paul, are you crazy? Don't you know them Jews? They hate you. I mean, you've been out here preaching us Gentiles and you were one of them. You were one of them. You know what they'll do to you. He said, yeah, but I got to go. The Holy Ghost put it in my heart to go. He said, I don't care what they can do to my body. I don't care if I don't even care if I die. My life matters not to me. That's a changed life. He said, I count not my life dear to me. Time out. Look up here. That's where we and Paul separate. In 2020, let me tell you what's wrong with the church. Brother Bobby, I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Your life matters too much to you. My life matters too much to me. See, we can't say that. Not honestly. I ain't picking on Bobby. I'm talking to all of us. You know what's wrong with our church? We okay. Been okay. Run of the mill. Average. Because we cannot honestly say, you look up here and be honest. And it ain't me who you need to seek approval from. I can't. If I do approve of you, you ain't gained nothing. This is all about Jesus. I'm going to get to this, whether this morning or tonight. We headed for Jesus. That's where we're headed, because He's the only help you ever going to get. A preacher can't help you. A church can't help you. I don't care if you're a member of this church. I don't care how long you've been a member of this church. I don't care how many churches you've been a member of. If you ain't had an encounter with Jesus.
Yes. That's right.
By the way, if you did have an encounter with Jesus, how long has it been since you had the last encounter? There's a lot of saved people who are satisfied that Jesus saved them. And what a stingy, selfish way to live to a God who gave His Son to die for your wicked sin.
Yes.
Paul said, I count not my life dear to me.
Amen.
Holy Ghost ain't letting me go no further than that right now. I'm going to tell you, I can get up and preach everything I want to preach and everything you want to hear and everything you don't want to hear, but this is the reality. We ain't going to move past that right there. Because it ain't going to matter. You know why the church ain't changing? Because we ain't changing. Our life's too dear to us. Say, goodness, preacher, that's morbid. You don't talk biblical? How soft are you? At that same, hey, y'all believe the Bible? You believe the Bible? This ain't the preacher's. Hey, this is not my message. I'll just give you the Bible. I'm quoting it. This ain't Rochester theology. Paul penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Said, reckon yourself to be dead.
Amen.
Die daily. Mortify your members. Reckon yourself to be dead. For I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me in the life that I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I ain't talking about just dying. No, you die to live. You die to get life. That's what happened. It had to happen when you got saved, ain't it? You had to come to the end of yourself or you didn't get saved. I tried. You remember I said earlier? I prayed some prayers, got dunked in baptism booths enough times. I was familiar with the frogs who live up there. I know what religion can do, and it ain't a whole lot. Make you prideful and pave a road to hell for you. Personally, that's what religion will do. You know what righteousness will do? You know what Christ will do? He will bring you to the end of who you are, and you'll die to you. And you'll be willing to say, this life ain't worth living. I'm tired of me. I can't live this life. I remember getting there. Them first few times I said, God save me. I'm scared of going to hell. Oh, I don't want to die and go to hell. I'm scared. But I wouldn't turn loose of some things. But the day I got saved, I said, whatever it takes. You can have me. You can have all that I am. You can have all I've done. Whatever it takes. I can't do it if you'll save me. Please save me, Lord. And I looked to Jesus, and then when I got willing to die to me and my desires, my finances, my career, my future, whatever, Lord, that's where you got to get. Got to be willing to die. Yeah. See, that's awful high. That's awful cheap to get the goods. Look, I'm trying not to bore you, but I'm being dead serious. I ain't wasting my time preaching my guts out to a bunch of people who's going to sit on a pew and go back home and never change. And all you want is religion. I come here for the few, and sadly it is a few, who's going to receive the message. I've dedicated the rest of my life to preaching my lungs out to people who will hear and receive, because it's that important. I know the most and the multitude and the majority will reject it. And you'll go home just the same as you came. You didn't come. You didn't plan to change nothing. I'm going to tell you something. You on the same road Saul was on. Thought he was all right. Thought everything was good. Had a vindictive spirit, critical about what they're doing down to church. It turned into bitterness. Oh, can't believe how they acting down there. Who do they think they are? I'll tell you who they was. They was people who loved Jesus. And Paul was so blind, he didn't even realize who and what he was doing until he met a man named Jesus. You have no idea what you're missing out on. Why would you come waste your time in a church house and go through religion if you ain't going to get the goods out of it? Come, get in an altar and get the goods. Get what you claim you want. You can really get it. You don't have to go home the same. You can go home changed. Go home saved. Go home with your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sins forgiven. Life rearranged and changed. Hey, and if you are saved, you too can go home changed. Revived. Wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord? Hey, listen. God can restore unto you the joy of His salvation. How long's that been since you've enjoyed living for God? It don't have to be a chore. It don't have to be hard. It don't have to be a necessity. No, it can be the joy of your life to live for Jesus. Not only could it be, it should be. You say, but I thought you said we got to die. That don't sound joyful. Jesus said, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. That's some of our problem. We don't want to deal with shame. Right. If you don't want to deal with it in an altar, you'll deal with it in your conscience, laying in your bed. But you know it's there. Right. I don't want to know. I ain't your Pope. Amen. And the Pope ain't got no hope for you either. Right. Jesus and Jesus alone can take your shame, can take your sin, can take your mess that you thought you got hid from everybody. He knows you might as well come clean. Do business with Him. He's paid the price. Why would you not? You'd be a fool. You'd be a fool not to get in on what God has for you. Amen. Why are you sitting here on a Sunday morning if you ain't wanting God to do something for you? Right. Amen. Why waste your time? Go get on a fishing lake. Go get in a deer stand. Go do your hobby. Play a baseball game. Hey, this is the Lord's day. Why are you here? If you just faking it and trying to make yourself feel better, I'm telling you, wasting your time. If you here, why not get what God's got for you? That's going to take you getting serious. I'll just tell you this. Put your name in the blank. When you get up and it's time for the alarm clock to go off in the morning, I guarantee you, you go into the workplace. You say, but preacher, goodness, I mean, I got family. Hey, how about this? Preacher telling you, goodness, don't you know you need to live for Jesus so your family don't die and go to hell? This is serious. More serious than how much money you make. More serious than what kind of house you give them. More serious than what kind of car you can give them. They need to see a life in a mom and a daddy. Not just at the church house. You're losing your children. We are losing our children because we do not want to pay any price. We want soft Christianity. Not too hot. Not too cold. Not serious. And we wonder. Call me. Oh, preacher, pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. Why don't you? And what good is it going to do for me to pray for your children when you won't live in front of them? I'm going to tell you what preaches the loudest, way louder than I can preach. It's what you live in. They get more preaching Monday through Saturday with mom and daddy than they'll ever get from a preacher on Sunday. High time we're counting on our life to be so dear, because eternal life is what's dear. Hey, listen, if my children have to live poor, unpopular, even unsuccessful, if that's what it costs, I'm okay with that if they make it to heaven. Say, not me. And you tell me who's the fool. If they get 70 or 80 years with plush, plenty, lots, have all they want, smart, degrees, what is your life but a vapor? Here 1 minute, gone the next. If you give them a great life, what have you given them if you ain't given them eternal life? Tell me which one matters more. I'll tell you what Paul said. He said, I've been on both sides of it. I've been to religion. I've been down Religion Avenue. I've seen the guts of it. I've seen the glory of it. I've seen all of it. And then I met a man named Jesus who changed me, rearranged me. And he spent the rest of his life not being average, but being above average because of what God did. If there was a man who had an excuse, who could just fit in, I mean, just blend in, and had reasons. I mean, he was short and stubby, bent over back. History says probably just about 110 pounds, about blind. He had an excuse not to do a whole lot, but he reached the world. Because of his ministry, me and you, Gentiles, if you ain't a full-blooded Jew, you better thank Paul. But because his sacrifice, because he was willing to be abnormal, above average, don't you think we owe Paul a little better? I'm not a Catholic. Don't lose me here. I'm not saluting Paul. I'm thanking God for Paul, though. You better. Ain't you glad there's a man willing to be above average? To count not his life to be dear to him so that you could get the gospel, so that I could get the gospel. He went to Asia. He went around and then he knew. There was a prophet showed up and said, these garments, they'll have at the temple. They're going to hold and handle and beat that man that's holding these garments. These garments Paul was wearing. With that coming directly, freshly from the prophet's mouth. He said, I don't care. I'm doing it for the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. I count not my life dear. You say, well, I ain't no Paul. I ain't asking you to be a Paul. I'm asking you to be a little better. Everybody look up here at me. I didn't lost you because you say, well, I ain't no Paul. I ain't asked you to be Paul. Jesus didn't ask you to be Paul. Paul didn't ask you to be Paul. Jesus asked you to be you. And you ain't being the best you can be. You say, well, I wish we had a better church. Then be a better church member. This ain't complicated algebra. It's like, hey, are you a member of the church? You a member? Are you? Then be a better member. I say that in love. I love you. If every church member was like you, what kind of church would we have? Amen.
Amen.
If the only prayers that got answers was the prayers you prayed, how much prayers would be getting answered? I know we laugh in Baptist circles, but I'm being dead serious. These con men have become popular preaching and peddling an easy gospel, another gospel, which Paul penned the words and said, any man preaching another gospel, let him be accursed, anathema, let him go straight to hell. That's how serious this is. A man peddling an easy gospel where you don't have to pay nothing, you get saved for free. But it costs to be a Christian. Paul understood that.
Amen.
That's why he said, my life, after all God's done for me, what is my life? What's in the bulletin this morning? For Christ, who is my life? Is He yours? Is He what makes you tick? How much of your life does He have? I want you to answer this question. This is for everybody in here. If you lost, why under God's heaven would you leave this church house with God with an outstretched hand saying, come and I will forgive all your sin. I will wash you white as snow. I will save your soul. I will pull you out of hell and build you a home in heaven. Why would you say no to that? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You are a fool to leave God hanging with that deal. You think you're going out bargaining God? I preached a message one time, gambling with God over your soul. I wouldn't take that gamble. I wouldn't take that bet. You don't know if you'll make it back tonight. The road to hell's paved with procrastination. People who thought they would one day. Don't you dare leave God empty-handed. Now to you who are saved. Everybody look up here at me. If you lost, you've heard the gospel. Come to Christ, get saved. Give Him your life. If you saved, it's to the church. Whether you're a member or not, look up here. If you save, does not Jesus deserve more than you're giving Him? Is that hard? Now, when I was talking to the lost people, the church was saying amen. Like, yeah, I done been there. He's right. Amen, preacher. That's right. You, hey, lost people, take that offer. Wasn't you? If you saved, you know you was because you done been there. You know how good it is. You've tasted of the Lord and seen how good it was. You know what it feels like to have your sins lifted and forgiven. Now I'm talking to you, though. Now that you are saved, how sorry are you living? How little are you giving Him? How much of your life have you took back and said, no, this is mine. This is mine. This is mine. It's my money. I work for this. It's my time. It's my time. You can get my time. It's mine. I'm busy, don't you know? Don't you know how busy I am? I read this week. Punch me in the gut. Listen, if the devil can't get you to do bad, he will get you to be busy where you can't do good. And I'm convinced there's more church people not caught up in bad things, just too busy to do good things. Because we hold our life so dear, so important. It's like, no, Lord, I'm more important. How conceited of a Christian are you? Can't you just smell a conceited person? Don't you hate it? Ain't it disgusting when somebody's so self, just conceited, like, oh, I'm so much better. You don't even deserve to be in my presence. That's how we treat God. This is mine. This is my life. I'm above that. You ain't above nothing. God saved your wretched soul. If it wasn't for Jesus, you'd still be on your way to hell. You owe Him. I owe Him my life. You can't give Him too much. You owe Him more. He deserves better. Our church needs it. Your children needs it. This community needs to see Christ, not an average Christian, but something a little above that. You can do better. We can do better than what we're doing. Morningstar Baptist Church can be, it's a decent church. I mean, I'm the pastor and it hurts my heart to say that. We're okay, but we're not above. Okay. And we need to be. You know what happens when we get above average? People start coming to where they can get help. Put food out. People come. Y'all see that here. When we have physical food, look at how many people fill up that building. Just to feed their bellies. I ain't against that. I'm the one who told them, hey, let's have it. Let's have more of it. Get people in here. Get people coming so we can get them the gospel.
Amen.
But when our church gets to a place to where people, I'm talking about people who have needles in their arms, crack pipes in their pockets. Say, oh, we don't need them kind. Oh, yes, we do.
Amen.
The same grace that saved theirs. And you got family just like that.
Amen.
You got homosexuals in your family. You got lesbians in your family. Hey, listen, in 20, you say, preacher, you shouldn't say that on a Sunday morning. Oh, yes, I should say that.
Amen.
Because we're living there and we've shut up too long. We've held back too long. It's high time we spare not and cry aloud. You got family, you got brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, aunts, nieces, nephews, sons and daughters, mamas and daddies that need to see more of Christ in you, or they will die and go to hell. We are the church. This is where they will get help. I ain't the church. I'm part of it. I'm one member of this body. And if I'm doing all I can, it don't matter if the rest of the body ain't doing its part. We still gonna make a mess of it. And all I'm asking you to do is just do a little bit better than you're doing. I need to do a little bit better than I'm doing. I'll be honest about that. I need to do better. I need to be more. I can name you 30 names just off the top of my head of family members of mine who are lost in sin and going to die and go to hell soon. Listen to me. God called me back to Packlet out of grace. He saved me. He called me back here to reach this community, to lead this church, to pastor this church, to grow this church, and to reach this community. And I've got family everywhere. He did not call me back here to be average. He didn't call me to lead a church to stay average. He called us to rise above and be above average. I ain't saying you got to be 100% because the truth is you probably won't. Neither will I. Even before the day's over, I ain't going to hit 100%. But won't you get over 50? Won't you at least try? Not for me, not because I extended the invitation, not because I asked, but for Jesus. So that we can have an atmosphere and a place where people can come and the Lord abides and moves and will save and will convict and will change the hearts of your family and friends and mine. Not where they'll just come in and settle in a dead church and get up and leave the same that they came. Do you want that? Is that not what the church is here for? Then let's be that. That's with every person in here that's saved, a member of this church. It's on you. Let's stand together. Lord, help us, Jesus. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. People in the altars already doing business with God. It ain't but 15 after 12. It's early. How long has it been, sir? Hey, Daddy. Mama. Your youngins know. Are you living a life that will convince them that hell is real and heaven is too? If they never get to hear another preacher preach, can they look at your life and have enough evidence that what you have is real under God? Why not? Hey, these altars are here for people to come. Jesus is calling. Won't you come? How long has it been since you bowed, humbled yourself? Not pride. I ain't saying you can't get a prayer answered in a pew. I'm saying there's something about an altar that God honors. Bowing yourself. Do you realize you cannot worship God without bowing? You can praise Him standing with hands raised, but you cannot worship without bowing. How long has it been since you worshiped? Hey, sinner. Hey, religious person. Hey, you that prayed a prayer and ain't changed, and you know when you pillow your head at night. I used to be you. Are you tired of not having peace, not having it settled, not really knowing? I mean, you convince yourself, but deep down, you don't know. If Jesus was to come today, you don't know. I used to get up in the middle of the night, walk around and see if my mama was still sleeping. Scared to death, the rapture done took place. I'd go look for my brothers, thinking I was left behind. Hey, sinner friend, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And Jesus has come this morning to save you Why don't you trade in your counterfeit and get the real thing? And truly get your sins forgiven. Get your ticket to heaven and gain a life, life eternal. It'll be the greatest day of your life. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.